I'd like to welcome you to tonight's November 27th, 2017 Othello Regular City Council Meeting. If you would all please rise for a short invocation. This be a short private invocation asking for God's blessing upon our meeting tonight and wisdom for the council and his blessing upon this city. And now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. I would like to point out that on item D, roll call that all members of the council are present for our meeting tonight. Then I would like to move to item E, which is citizen input. And I understand that Councilman John Lawless would like to address the council as a private citizen. So he'll be the first to go. And if there's anybody else from the public who would like to address the council, I'll raise your hand. I'll recognize you as well.
You only made 5 copies, so it's in the chair.
Sure.
And here's a larger map for you guys to look at with regard to our property boundaries and our fence line. I'm going to be able to put it up here.
Here, yeah. You can put it on the overhead.
Okay, so to go on the record, I am representing McCain Foods tonight, and we had put, through Noel Communications, we had put an application in for work to be done in the right-of-way along Broadway Road in front of our factory. And as you can see in your handout, what we're looking to do is get fiber optics into our facility. We do not, at this point in time, have fiber optics. We're actually hooked into a phone line system, and we're boosting the internet service from the phone line through Quest. And what we'd like to do, because fiber optics is much faster, it has more capabilities, we'd like to get fiber optics into our plant. Now, the issue is, on the one picture, there's a connection point on your handouts that they would have to go back to. It's on an existing line that already exists. So they would have to go back to this line, open up the box that's on the line that exists today, and right down there in the black,
yeah.
Okay, they'd have to open that up, and then what they would do is latch on the existing line with a new line, carry it over to the corner of our building, and then bring it across the railroad tracks on our property. This is on the existing pole line, on the existing line that's already there. And they did not believe when they put in the permit for application for the permit to work in the right of way, they didn't want to take the route of doing a variance in front of the council. Based on my recommendations, I didn't feel it was necessary because it's an already existing line. They would latch directly to the line. There's no other property owners along the line. McCain Foods owns the property all the way up to Lee Road. There's limited access to the property. That only access is to McCain Foods. And so there's no worry of something catching it, hanging on it, but it's already on an existing line. So I stand before you tonight, and I believe that this decision was made by Public Works Department, so it can be redirected or based on what your guys' determination is. Otherwise, they'll have to come before you with Noel to request a variance, because we don't want to dig out there on Broadway. There's too much stuff out there. There's just a ton of underground buried electrical and water lines. I've been there before. So for us to go in and dig that out and put an underground line in there would be detrimental to both the city and to McCain's. So I don't know that the council can make a recommendation to the Public Works Department with regard to this application. Or otherwise, if they can't do that tonight, then I'll have to come in with Noel for an application for a variance.
Did Public Works already deny it?
Yes.
Okay, so if it's an existing line, why would they deny it?
I don't know.
Terry, your hand up.
Just for the record, Public Works didn't deny it. It was handed to the city administrator because it was a new 1,200-foot run. It was a new fiber optic line. According to the OMC, it's got to go underground on a new line. They're just making a connection at that point. I gave it to Wade to make that decision because there was a council member at the plant. So he made that decision to deny that request.
Okay. So...
Okay, so that's clarified. The city administrator made the decision. It's still a public servant of the city of Othello making the decision whether or not to authorize it or deny it. And I'm standing in front of the council, and I don't know what direction to go, what the legal matter is, but if you don't do something about it tonight, then I will have to come back in front of you.
So is it a new run or is it replacing an existing line?
We do not have fiber optics at McCain Foods. We have underground telephone line into McCain Foods. And we would like to get fiber optics into McCain Foods. Noel has a line that runs out to the cold storage. There is a connection box on that line that they can tap into and pull new fiber optics from. But that's the only location they have. And he says it's 1,200 feet, I believe it's 1,200 feet, but it's going to be attached to the existing line. There will not be a separate line. It will be connected. And that diagram is on the page that has all the information on it, where it's actually latched to the other line. And it shows you
so the yellow line is where this proposed over aerial line would go. And what's the red lines?
The red lines, this arrow is showing the location.
Mm-hmm. So part of this is because it's in the city right away. I mean, that's the whole reason why you're here.
It's in the city right away. And there's an existing ordinance that any new fiber optic runs
have to be underground.
Have to be buried underground.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things. Is there any way that instead of running up the city right away, that McCain couldn't just at that black junction, wherever that is, which is right directly, isn't that your building right there that it's...
Yeah, we talked about...
Couldn't you just like get it into the building and then run it anywhere you wanted to?
Yeah, we talked about getting it into the... right across from that black area, mm-hmm. That's cold storage. So yes. That's a big freezer.
Yeah.
You'd have to go around it where those trucks are, and that's where the offices and stuff are. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing connected to that. The location that we want to go to is where our main switch is, mm-hmm. And that the phone room where all of the computer system and everything sit is up front in the plaque.
Is that where you've got the red outline?
Yeah.
Is that where you want to go? That's where the offices and everything are.
Yeah, if you look at the picture, it's following an existing path where the phone line goes today. We're just going to run it and keep running it into the phone center where everything sits today.
Well, so would another subsequent junction box be put at?
No.
Why not?
They would tap into the fiber optics at the location where they already have.
No, but I mean at the end of the line, at the end of the run. So let's say SVZ down the road wants the same thing, and let's say more development goes in. Would they not be able to tap into that line and continue on down the line? That's my real question.
I don't know if that Noel didn't tell me whether or not they had, because they go to cold storage. They already go across the road into the cold storage there, into lineage. I'm not sure if SVZ is not already on it.
Okay.
So I get the same question as Mayor. If it's that black junction, this is the junction box, right?
Yep.
So why can't you just go right to your building right there and then you can run it wherever you want once you're on the king's property?
Instead of the inside of the building?
What's that?
Through the inside of the building with
concrete? Yeah. I mean,
or on the top or outside, yeah. You said, did you guys look at that as an option?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We didn't.
All right,
we looked at picking up off of their line.
Yeah.
And the only place that they can pick up off their existing line
is to go through the right of way.
Is to pick it up off that junction box. And what we're talking about is a phone line attached to an already existing line. Mm-hmm. So a very small little phone line attached to an already existing line, and then crossing over and coming into our facility.
I guess for me, and of course I don't make the decision, the council does, but the council needs to, they either need to follow the ordinance or they need to basically change the ordinance. Because, I mean, one of the things is, I mean, let's talk about realities. We've discussed this a number of times in council in the last year and a half. And what we've been discussing is that we need fiber optic in this town, and yet new subdivisions, which I still firmly support, any new subdivision needs to have underground fiber optic in it. But you've got areas that it just is not practical, money-wise, to continue to force them to do, you know, to run it underground. And I think we dealt with one earlier this year, we dealt with one last year, and if every time a business comes to the city council and says, hey, we want to run overhead, we don't want to run, you know, I can think of three, okay, that we've already done since I've been mayor, that we've allowed them to run overhead. And so what you're doing is you're setting up a situation where you're becoming situational in your decisions. We if we're not going to enforce that throughout existing scenarios, then we need to change our code, and I think Ann would probably agree with that. Our lawyer would probably agree with that. I think it's okay with the brand new subdivisions to require that, because they have an opportunity to do it at a very inexpensive, you know, cost. But as far as, you know, the council and what it needs to do, my opinion is that if you are going to allow this, then you need to change. I mean, you've already allowed it a couple of times already, so why don't we consider changing our ordinance and define it a little further than where we are today? Because I think it talks about any new, you know, John, you could probably recite it better than I am, but I think you need to be consistent. And you know, because consistency is what's called fairness, right? And so if we'll do it for McCain and we'll do it for, this other person and we'll do it for them, but now somebody comes to us and we say no? I mean, what kind of legal standing is that? And that isn't even really fair. What do you think? And by the way, introduce again Roger Reed, the city's attorney. He's here with us tonight. What do you think about that logic?
I think we should reconsider the language, the ordinances. That makes more sense, because otherwise you do file a paper citizen, what we call equal protection law, things like that.
Yeah. Well, not only that, not just that. Fiber optic does run up my alley. Of course, they want $3,000 to drop it into my house and $300 a month, which, okay, I'm not willing to do that. But someday that price is going to go down. But I would like to see the rest of the city have that opportunity to, you know, down their alleys, you know, to their properties where they could hook on to fiber optic. And if we continue the way we are, meaning everything's going to have to go underground, and I just don't, it's just not going to happen. It's cost prohibitive. So I think that's something that we need to go back and review and revisit. And
seeing myself, I don't necessarily, the cost is so much different, have a problem with them attaching to an existing line of a less than quarter inch line, you know, that they're marrying to the other line. You know, I mean, now if they're running a brand new huge line that we're taking the chance on drooping down it, well, no, you know, but when you're talking thousands upon thousands of difference in dollars, you know, we want to try to grow and help grow, you know, and that just knocks it out of the park.
I agree. So you're just tapping into that wire to get the service in there instead of...
It's not an issue. It was never an issue of finance, you know, what we were capable of doing financially. The issue was that it was much simpler just to attach to an already existing line with a small phone line and come into our system in the front end.
What it comes down to is
that right away, if there is so
you're going to go underground versus tapping into pipes and wires and
all kinds of stuff.
You know, here's the problem. That ordinance was established to get rid of the overhead lines in town. We're not getting rid of the overhead lines. All we're doing is adding to them. And the three that have come, I know that there's been one company that came in, and Northern came in, and they ran 3,500 feet of wire unpermitted. They just did it. And my biggest problem with the wires is they're not maintained. You can go down any alley in this town, and a lot of the streets in town where the wire at, the wires are rat nested, they're drooping, they're horrible, you know. And allowing more wires to come into town, it's just more wires that's going to droop and fall and not be maintained. I don't know, I like the ordinance.
My only thought is, John, what you're talking about sounds pretty simple to me, but I sure in the hell would like to know what Wade's got, what his thought with turning it down. I'd like to know what that is.
It's following the code.
And that's all.
That's it.
So we'd have to change the code too.
Or you'd have to give him
if you want to know how to do it, we need to ask Roger.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you just delegate the specific directions to the charity or something? They'd come back with a recommendation that considers, you know, these factors, A, B, C, whatever you want to direct it to.
In other words, have an actual justification for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get the benefit of the technical analysis, and then you can make your political decision.
Okay. Can you wait till next Monday?
Oh, yeah. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I just wanted to get it before you guys tonight so that you could look at it and consider it. It is an issue that the city's going to have to face. I believe that this is a very low impact situation. It doesn't directly deal with the things that the ordinance is trying to correct because of the land ownership issue. The full length of the run is owned and operated by one entity. That there is no potential for connection to, you know, get caught up on by anything, trucks or whatever. And I do believe there's an issue with managing these lines that are actually on Avista poles that should be managed by Avista. I've voiced that opinion previously.
Mm-hmm.
That it actually falls back onto Avista because they own the poles. And if they see something that needs to be addressed, they need to contact the company that owns the wire and get it addressed.
Well, we also now, well, all right, yeah, that'll,
okay.
That'll come up later in the
meeting.
We're
going to have a long meeting anyway, yeah. So we'll let our...
So do I have a consensus then of the council that we'll come back and make a decision for McCain next Monday night? Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
John, you want to rejoin us? Okay, so is there any other citizens that would like to provide input tonight? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to item two, and that is the approval of our agenda tonight.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item three is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'll move to item four, current business water system plan adoption. And tonight we have with us Jesse Halger, our city engineer, also writer of our water plan that has been submitted to Department of Health. Jesse, do you want to take it from here?
Sure. So the city has been working, I should say the city staff has been working with Burrell and Associates on pulling together the water system plan for the city. It's been submitted to Department of Health for their review and comments. They've provided comments. We've revised the water system plan based on those. And they're at the point now where they're ready to approve it. And the last step in the process is for the council to adopt it as the water system plan. Once Department of Health has documentation of that, they'll be ready to approve it. And there's some, the water system plan approval relates to a couple other agenda items as we go here, but I guess we'll keep this one kind of simple and short unless the council has questions about the water plan or the adoption process or any of those parts and pieces.
Council? Question? Okay. All right. So this is a resolution. We need a motion to adopt this resolution as submitted to Department of Health on the 1st of September, 2017.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Jesse. Then we're going to move to the water infrastructure funding update and drinking water state revolving fund application. That's another resolution.
It is. So let me give the council just sort of a big overview, and we'll get to any specific questions you have. So the water system plan, among other things, basically lays out all the improvements that the city will do kind of in two time frames. There's a 6-year closer time frame and then a 20-year longer term time frame. and it identifies kind of by priority which of those improvements need to come first and which can come later, and what some of the triggers for those are. And so now that the water plan is basically in the final stages of approval, city staff's been through it, has had all their thoughts integrated into it. There's a list of improvements that are basically the high priority improvements that the city wants to implement in the near term. And so there's a list there on the agenda memo. First one on the list is the well 3 replacement. We're gonna have a separate agenda item on that. So I guess we'll probably save discussion on that one for that agenda item. But then there's a reservoir transfer pump station, which is for transferring what they call dead storage out of the largest standpipe into the other two smaller standpipes in an emergency situation. So it's not, it doesn't increase system pressure or anything like that, but it does give the city access to storage that would be otherwise unusable. There's also an additional reservoir, some steel mainline replacements due to deteriorating steel mains in the city that need to be replaced. There's an engineering report for surface water treatment, which would be future water supply. And then there's finally well number 10, which is at least in the current planning, would probably be the last groundwater well that the city would add before trying to implement some sort of surface water treatment supply. So all those come to about $9.4 million, and that's a pretty appreciable amount of money. And it's something that at least, let's see, Mayor, Councilperson Doro, Wade, City Planner, or Community Development Director, were at the IACC conference discussing with the different funding agencies how the city can pull money together for the different priority projects. And we've come up with, I think, a really good funding plan for the city. And I'm going to keep it kind of overview-ish unless the council really wants to dig into it. We've been into it in more detail with the Water Street Committee. So. I think there's a decent amount of understanding, at least in the committee, and we're happy to explain more of it to council, but I know it's a long meeting, so. At any rate, the city's acquired a $50,000 planning grant from CURB to do some of the preliminary engineering. The next funding program that the city can apply to is the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, and so that's what this funding update dovetails into is sort of the first step in the funding strategy to try and get together that $9.4 million is to apply to DWSRF for $2.7 million, which would be for the reservoir project. And there's some other aspects to the funding plan that are to try and help the city strategically get as many grant dollars as possible. And we had a really productive conference call with the city's lobbyists and the mayor on the legislative appropriation that the city's hoping to have come through here once the capital budget's worked out. There's also the next funding program after that will be USDA Rural Development. So all that to say that DWSRF is purely loan, but there's some other funding sources that potentially may come through which later in the year here that could reduce that loan amount. But the feedback we got from both CDBG and from the legislators was that they wanted more funding in hand before they jumped in with their grant dollars. So the hope is to apply for this loan and basically have an offer for the whole project, but then go to CDBG, go to the legislature, and try to reduce the amount that the city borrows for that project. And so that's specifically for the reservoir project, and then rural development would probably fill in whatever we didn't get on that. So there'll be another funding application coming together, and we'll be back before the council when that's ready to go for the remaining dollars and also those other funding programs. But so in order to apply to DWSRF, the city had to have an approved water system plan, and we were able to sort of push that through on a tight schedule, I think due to some groundwork related to the IACC conference. And so now that the council's adopted it, that'll be approved, you'll be ready to apply because it's due at the end of the week. Are there any questions thus far on the strategy that we're working with the city on there? Okay, so the action for the council to take now, if you're so inclined, is to adopt the resolution to submit the application to Drinking Water State Revolving Fund. this is not actually getting the loan, this is just applying for it. So they could offer it to you and you could turn it down. So I don't think there's huge issues of risk there.
Yep. That's all part of our plan, so.
So you need a motion right now to make a motion that we, what do we call it?
The resolution.
To adopt the resolution.
Authorizing submission of the DWSRF application.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Just one question, now that that's done. Are we still in the queue on the capital budget for well number 10?
Do you want to speak to that, Mayor?
Yes, we, our lobbyists, we had a couple of phone calls in the last week, and Brianna and Hannah are working out the best strategy to continue to keep that going forward. There was also information that they may have put extra money in another budget, and so they're trying to preserve that money too. So that's all in process. The effort that we have from our lobbyists has been money very well spent. These people are organized, they're right on top of it, they strategize with us, and they are ready to move forward with anything that we, you know, want to do and they think can happen. We talked also about there's also a transportation budget that the state has, and so they're going to try and see if we can get $600,000 or some portion of that for Lee Road, which we haven't been able to through TIB. But this is another budget that they felt like we should be looking at, and so they're going to write up a proposal to see if we can't get that money as well. So anyway, these people are working very well for us, and we really appreciate it. Anything you want to add?
They were optimistic, I guess, that
but that's been in the works for over 18 months, and we were in the final stages, and I was just wondering, because the budget wasn't resolved, and once it did get resolved, we'd still be in the queue for that.
We are still in the queue.
So by submitting additional this additional request, that won't in any way interfere with that, right?
It shouldn't. You know, like, the feedback that we got from the lobbyist was that the one of the things that deters the legislature from jumping into a project is not having the other funds set up so that the project is ready to go. They don't want to be the first ones in. So
all right.
I guess they thought this improved the odds, you know.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. That's the answer I was looking for.
Yep.
Okay. So now let's move to item C, Well 3 Replacement Engineering and Emergency Declaration. Okay, Jesse.
Okay, so I'll give the overview, and I think Roger probably has some things to say. I think Public Works may have some things to add.
Right.
So I'll do the part that I have, and then the others can add to it. So in late August, the well pump in Well 3 failed. At the time, I think everyone probably assumed that the pump would just be replaced, and the council actually took some action to that end to get that moving under an emergency declaration. As the Public Works staff, I think, discussed it with the pump installer, and then as additional staff discussed it with Aspect Consulting, the city's hydrogeologist, I think the consensus was that putting a pump back into that well would probably be poor use of resources, in that well is crooked. And so the life expectancy of pumps in that hole is short. And so the staff, Aspect, Schneider, Varela, all concluded that it would make more sense for the city to replace that well so that I should say, because there's issues with the well in terms of straightness, there's other issues with cascading water, and so replacing the well would make it more reliable, more acceptable to the regulatory agencies, those sorts of things. So that conclusion, I guess, developed over a series of weeks, I think, because there was coordination between the Public Works, between the driller, between ASPEC, between us. And once that conclusion was reached, there was also the question of, okay, well, how can the city pay for it in terms of cash flow? So just getting a well re-drilled is going to be in the $1 to $1.2 million range. And then there's modifications you have to make to the pump station. There's engineering, there's quality control, there's hydrogeology, things on that. So the overall price tag on that's about $1.8 million, which was included in that previous total, the funding strategy, just so you know. And there's the time crunch associated with needing well three for one of the base, kind of the primary supply wells in the summer. It's one of the ones that that the Public Works staff relies on pretty much all summer long. So if it can't be back up and online, it means that the city would almost certainly be relying on well six, which is the well with higher fluorides. And so I think staff, hydrogeologists, Varela, all believe it would be much better if the city could get the well re-drilled and back online before the big pumping or the heaviest pumping season for the city occurs. So there's some action associated with this agenda item, but I think Roger's got some things to add. I think Public Works probably has some things to add in addition to what I said. So I'm going to give Public Works a chance.
Yes,
good. Okay. Dan's probably got the most data that he's pulled up tonight, but we as Public Works has got to look at putting it back or getting it back in the ground so we've got some water, because we get around April, we're going to need some water. We pump a lot of gallons out of that. Dan showed me a chart today, and I'm going to have him share that number with you, but we can't express our concern enough that we need some water. We can't do without it, and I think council knows that, but I'm going to let Dan share some of those data with you here.
So three and five have been our workhorses since I've been here. Both wells are key in our two largest pumping wells outside of well six. And in January of last year, excuse me, this year, we pumped almost 40 million gallons out of that in a month. And February was 35, almost 37, six, excuse me. March was 36.8 million in a month's time. So if any other well goes down, you're saying we can rely on six. Well, that's true, but what if we have another failure? I believe that before this new hole gets put online, we're going to have to buy the new equipment, stick it down the same hole, and pump it until that hole is finished, and then transfer it over next fall, late winter, early winter. I don't see any way that we can go into a summer season with six as a full-time user, with the old switch gear that's in there and everything that's in there. We've been really fortunate in all these years that we've been able to make it run when needed. But we'll end up in a crisis if we don't get something going on this well. And moving it over, drilling a new hole about within 50 feet of the existing, means we can tie back to the infrastructure that's in the ground currently. We'll put a motor in the well hole outside the building now, like the new two wells we've got, eight and nine, and we'll simply pipe it back into the existing through the existing building into the existing infrastructure. So there's a limited amount of things required to do that. But if you take this 40 million gallons that this well has put out through the January, February, March, and April pretty much per month. Now you're going to make six do that. If I lose one more well, you're going to be on restricted water use again. I just see that happening. So I don't know. I think moving forward with getting a new hole in the ground, if you recall, a couple of years ago, we had emergency with six and three down. So when that occurred, we had no time to inspect shafts, check for stray, do anything like that. We called up Snyder and said, just grab everything you got and stick it back in the ground and run it. And that stayed together for 2 years. And we'll come in and dress it this winter. Well, 2 years later, we're into this winter. So we need to move forward. And I just hope that we can get a new hole done. But I can't see how we can get it done in time to make up this by March. I don't see where that hole will get drilled and headset. So we may end up having to, if we put new stuff down this hole, one summer's run, when we pull it out to put it over in the other hole, which is extra expense, I get it. We can send the shafts off, they'll be new and fresh enough that they won't be all pitted up or anything to go with that. They can be checked and straightened, and then we'll just slide it in the new wellhead. So that's what my thoughts are. I just hope we don't have to wait and see how it turns out.
Council?
Is there any questions that you have on it?
I have some questions, but let Mark go.
So right now, the other wells are filled, those towers full, or are they?
No, we're doing with no problems right now. Six isn't even having to run right now. But when you, even with three, five, with all the wells running in July, we started using six. July and August, we did over. So July, August, and September, and in part, just a little bit in October, six is running in order to make up the shortcomings. With all the wells running currently, and six coming last on, that's what we've agreed to with DOH for the fluoride blending program. It's we get away with it. But if you lead with, if you have six running on a call it a 12-hour half a day, if you have it running half a day, then your fluorides are going to go up outside the box. And with no VFD on there, it's all or nothing. So you're on or you're not. But and I ran it years ago when Howard Johnston was here. I said, that's the most efficient well we've got. So I turned it on and we ran for 30 days straight, and the other wells could rest. And that's another issue. When the other wells can't rest, they pump down to this water table level and they maintain. So you lose your gallons per minute and they just kind of hang there if you're lucky. But if they rest, then it'll come back, it'll pick back up, you know. So, but running constant, it's a challenge. So anyway, getting back to when Howard was here and I ran it for 30 days straight, DOH got wind of it and checked our fluoride were off the chart and said, no, you can't do that no more. If we got our hand slapped for that one. But I did use it as a lead well.
So my question is, oh, without well three, the towers are?
Currently, we're doing fine. There's no issues now. Six is not having to run. With three offline, well nine, five, four, seven, and eight have been able to keep up. But you got to understand that the time you're going to have the problem is when we need them all running and one more will break. They do. Invariably, something happens. All it's got to be is a bad fuse. So without the, and we've always used six as a backup. Mostly because of the fluoride blending issues.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mark?
No. Okay. No, we basically discussed this in committee, Gina, myself, and Mark, and we acknowledge the fact that we got to get going as soon as possible. In fact, we're kind of wondering why we're not already going, because we had appropriated this money under an emergency act of council to get going, to get started. Has Snyder given you an indication of when they could get out there and set up?
Well, now, he said that he has a job he's finishing up on, and he's, another one's waiting, a drill, for the drill rig that he's gonna have do that. And so we're 1.5 down before we can get to it. And I don't know what that means. I don't know, you know.
Is that 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now?
Exactly. I don't know what that means. I asked him, I didn't ask him for an official, give me an email, says I can have it by this date. But you understand how long it took to drill well 9. And we have issues coming up if we end up starting to drill well 3 in the middle of winter.
Well,
are we going to put our water and all the stuff that goes with that?
Yeah, I just, look, I think we got a good profile with the hole next to it, so we do have an understanding of what you know, exists 50 feet away from it or whatever. So I don't believe that we need to go through a whole bunch of, you know, find and feel kind of thing. Just go ahead and start drilling the hole.
The original hole is 903 feet deep.
Yes.
We're set at 870 or 883
right.
feet. And you would think within 50 feet, your profile of the dirt, soil, and everything else would be relatively the same.
Yep.
So I can't see why a whole lot needs to be done with that, because 50 feet over here is the same thing.
Yeah,
so.
And part of the reason that well 9 took so long was because they were looking for things. They were measuring the output at different levels, and they were also, they drilled down farther than what they needed to look for additional water.
Correct.
And then they, you know, had to seal that back up and everything. So that all took time, but I really believe that within 8 weeks they could drill a hole and have it completed. Then you would have to take the time to put the pump and everything in.
Yeah, you got the casing and the wellhead put on, and then, but you understand that this is like spring right now for us. I mean, right now, if they were starting today, it looks like to me you're going to be in trouble if they had the drill rig there today. Do you see what I'm saying? Even if they could start drilling on Monday, I don't see it being hooked up back and ready and running by then. However, they're not going to be able to hit here Monday. So if they go in and they don't get to show up until January something, or even February, then what happens? So I think that the council needs to not be shocked that we may indeed have to run some things down this hole through this summer coming. I hope not, but I don't be shocked if we do. And it'll be probably a $50,000 switch to pull it out of this hole and put it back in this hole, check the shafts, and reset.
At least.
So it was about $28,000 to pull it the last time.
So where do we stand on the engineering of the hole? Have you guys, has Aspects and Varela gotten anything to you guys?
I'm not on the certain street.
So I spoke with Steve Snyder today, asking about drill rig availability. He said the same thing that Dan did. Basically, like, January was the earliest they could actually have the rig they need available for the hole. So, I mean, Schneider is not the only driller out there. He is a good driller, and the city's got a lot of history with him. And so there are some things related to how the city procures services on this that we want to talk about with Roger. But just real quickly to speak to your question, John, you know, hey, is Varela moving? Yes. We're Aspect and I are working on the well spec. We're figuring out how we're going to package it for the whether it's a quote package or a bid package, depending how that discussion goes. So we're moving forward, and the agenda item was just sort of to tidy up the paperwork, because in committee you said, Varela, get it done, and so we're working on it. So the contract amendment is just to sort of formalize that assignment, but we're already into that assignment. And that's our risk to do that, but we want to be responsive to the city and move on that. So I also spoke with Chris Schneider. So Chris is kind of the pump expert. Steve is the drill expert, and Chris said that he was trying to make preparations for exactly what Dan said, was that if it turns out the city can't get the new well online to have a pump ready to be able to put it back down the old hole. It's definitely not ideal, you know, it is money that you would rather not spend if you didn't have to, but it is kind of plan B, plan C, to prevent the worst coming to worst, where you're either running well six, another well breaks. You just don't want to be in the same situation you were in 2015 when you actually had to implement water use restrictions, those sorts of things. So, do you have any additional questions there, John?
No, I just not like to have to put a brand new pump in that old hole and use it for any amount of time. I would rather, because I think you were a little bit light. I think it's going to run $70,000 to $80,000 to switch those things.
Well, the last time we pulled it inspected for 28.
28.
So, and it's cheaper if you don't build a well house out of all concrete and you have to bring a crane in. We spent over $90,000 on crane services on well six the last time, because they had to have such a big crane pull it out, because the well house there, when the drill rig can back up to the hole, pop it out and drop it on the ground. So that's why this time he got a bigger drill rig, Steiner's did, pump rig I should say, and he was able to pull it and not have a crane come in sitting there at two men, two operators and all the stuff that goes with it.
Yeah, but I'm just counting the times you're gonna set it, then you're gonna turn around.
No, sorry. My statement was, in order to pull it out of that hole and put it in a new hole, would be around $50,000.
Okay.
Not the first time installed. So if we install it here, and then they say okay, September 1, we'll pull it out and we'll put it in the new hole. That fee right there, pull it out of the existing, check and inspect all the shafts. And reset it, it'll be around 50. So that doesn't include the first install.
How much
okay.
The first install?
Plus 50 and 50.
I don't see, well, if it was 28 to pull and inspect, wouldn't it be closer to reset? Then it went in there around that fee, around 30,000 anyway?
30 and 30.
Well, maybe, but anyway.
Okay, I would just like to work as fast as possible to get somebody drilling a hole up there.
We've had other drillers in the past come in. We've had a few issues with them. Council should remember six and all the trouble we had with that. But hopefully, I will say that one thing for sure, that every Snyder hole we had is a straight hole and problem free. It's pretty much a turnkey thing when you get done. And we've had that kind of success with that group.
From start to finish, what are we looking at? 4 or 5 months, 6 months?
I don't know. I honestly don't. I think you're going to use up 3 months pretty hard, and that's if they work really, really, really steady.
You mentioned the usage didn't go up till starting July, so we have time, don't we?
You can't wait till July.
Yeah, you're going to be up against it in May, late May. And early June.
Once the water out, everything kicks on. Yeah.
The thing is if you don't have three, the thing is you've got to make a 40 million gallons a month with another well, right? So you're going to be running that. So what happens in the worst case scenario, what happens when you don't have anything left over? And that's what's happened to us on a few occasions.
Well, I think I can simplify it. I think the 2,200 utility hookups that we have in the city of Othello expect us to supply, and I think we have an obligation to supply. So, Roger, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yes, what I was thinking is they can merit a quick executive session.
Okay. All right. So.
Right now, tonight, they're looking for a motion to approve.
Talking about the emergency, or are you talking about the contract? You want to separate them?
The contract. You go ahead. Yeah. You do an emergency, but yes, the contract and how we're going to go forward.
Okay. All right. How long do you suppose we need?
5 minutes.
All right. Could we?
Maybe 10. I'll give it outside for people who are
okay. Let's
maybe
give it
10 minutes.
And who do we want present?
I think Dan, Terry, and Jesse should be present.
Okay, and then we're going to take action, you anticipate afterwards?
Perhaps.
Perhaps, okay, well, depending on the discussion, okay. So with that, I'd like to go into executive session at 7:26 PM, if the council would prepare that. Be prepared for us to come back in within 10 minutes, back into session.
Chair, you're with us.
Okay, we're back in session from our executive session, 7:39 PM. And we had discussions about the contract, and so now, Roger, do you want to...
Ladies and gentlemen of the council, what I am proposing after discussion regarding the proposed contract with Rural Engineers for amendment to its current contract project and the well knee replacement, I am asking that the council authorize a resolution for the proposed amendment to owner engineer agreement as presented by the Rural Engineers. Contract be presented to the mayor and the council tonight.
Okay. Council, any discussion? I'd entertain that motion then.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Kim. Correct.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Item D, there's been some discussion about the building permit fees and the valuation dates we've been using, and Ann, you've had discussions with the committee and with Spencer, I believe?
Correct.
Do you want to go ahead and inform the rest of the council what your plan is?
So the building permits are calculated by, you have a valuation, and then there's so much per $1,000, is kind of the short summary. And by your current resolution from 2012, the valuations are based on a 2002 chart. And so the proposal is to update that to current standards. The International Code Council publishes those updates twice a year. And so if the language just says current, we would just update it when they published a new one twice a year. And so it is rather a large change in the valuation, but it's also 15 years since it's been changed. So, you know, I could talk about it at more length, but that's the short version.
Council, you have any questions?
Questions?
Yeah, so what's the change going to be? I mean, what's the difference on the
schedule?
Schedule.
So I provided that for you in your packet.
I see that on the 1800, say for example, the 1800 square foot home, 2002 was 2133. And we go to 2017, it's 3315. That's pretty much what we're paying now, right?
So right now it's based on the old number, which is like 67 something per square foot, as opposed to the new one would be 116 per square foot.
So you're changing the valuation of the project costs.
Right.
The square
not changing the fee schedule, but changing the valuation.
See what she's doing there, Angel? She's saying that the square footage valuation in 2002 was $6,730 per square foot.
Yeah, I see that.
And she's bringing that up to 116, which is more realistic in today's.
Right.
So we go back to the same thing. We went through this, you know, on some other items last year, you know, the council. So instead of going up, you know, slightly every 2 years, we get hit because it sounds like we're almost doubling the price right here. Like, what is it?
It's like about 50%. Right.
That's a hard hit for a builder. I'm not just building one home. It's mm-hmm. not like, you know, if any of you guys are going to build a house or a garage, you can eat that. But now you're going to hit me with 30, 40, 50 grand more right off the bat. That's a lot of money.
Well, so it's about $1,000 per permit.
Per permit, yeah, I see that, $1,182.
So I believe what Ann was talking about in committee is that she wants to bring it up to speed so that we're back up to the 2017 valuation. And then wasn't there going to be some change to the ordinance so that it will basically tie back to whatever the current valuation is for the year of the...
Right, so it'd be updated every 6 months instead of once every 15 years.
So it won't happen again. So we won't run into this. Because I was really upset about this too, because we've run into this time and time again where we've got things that haven't been raised for 30 years.
So where do you get the $116 a square foot, though? I mean, what are you basing that off of?
So that comes from the chart that's published by the International Code Committee.
So International Code, is that Seattle, Tri-Cities, you know, all these high-end places?
So it's international, so it's...
Well, that affects me big time, or the builder here in Ovala, because we're not selling the homes like we are, you know, for the same price that we are in Tri-Cities. $116 a square foot, you know, that's pretty much what you're selling the house for.
Well, that 2002 number is also the International Code Council numbers. It's just that it's the 2002 numbers instead of the 2017.
But it hasn't, it hasn't cost 50% more to build a house.
If it had been raised a little bit over each year.
When I built my house back in 2000,
Okay, what is your house?
$60 a square foot. I'm not too much of a difference right now. I'm probably $65, $70 a square foot. So how can we be at $116?
Valuation of houses when they're built is $65 a square foot?
You can build a home right now for $60 to $70 a square foot.
But doesn't this valuation go by the sell value, not the build value?
What's that?
Like, a lot of that depends on what you put in it. You can get that cost of $200.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going high.
So it should be, it should reflect...
I'm going on a nice custom home.
The value.
I'm not going on your track home.
You're talking about just the house, not the land or...
The value of the home, not the cost of the home.
Yeah.
Both of those are on the value, not the cost.
Okay, can we visit this some more to make a wise decision that might affect, you know, the greater people of Ovala for quite a while?
Well, the thing is, you could talk about $30,000 on, you know, the difference between 2016 and 2017, that we'd bring in another 30, 35 grand, to say 30.
Mm-hmm.
But Olson hasn't come to play. So once Olson starts to build in, we're going to be up to $60,000, $70,000 a year. So is the city wanting to profit off of this now? Is this just to get an inspector?
The impetus to look at the costs was the building inspector, yeah.
So what are we paying for Tim right now? We're not even, I don't think we're at 30 grand.
No.
See, I'd rather keep Tim than keep the cost down in Ovala, keep people coming into town.
But the county's not going to...
The county may not continue the contract.
They've already said they don't want to continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just found out the last 2 weeks.
Look, I'm in favor of increasing it, because we got to get to a point where we're, you know, but as long as we left it there for a while, you know, if we raised it an amount, you're recommending what is a standard, from a standard, which is what you have to work with. But we could set our own valuation, which could be more than what we're currently charging, but not as much as what the standard.
Well, as setting this, we have to keep one thing in mind. Do we want people to come in town and keep building, or do we want to, you know, send them out? You know, Ovala does have the reputation that nobody wants to come and work here in town.
We sure got people coming for that.
What's that?
We sure got a lot of people coming.
We should have.
There's a lot of people coming to town. Look at our population rates in the last 5 years.
Yeah, but they're buying already existing homes.
No, we are.
To a point where we need to grow.
We are growing, definitely are growing, but just in this next development, I haven't pulled the plug, you know. We haven't pulled the plug yet, because it's just costing me way too much dang money to get...
I understand what Angel's is saying, because of the fact that there are so many other non-infrastructures that we have to offer as a city. Now, if, I would have no problem with this and raising it to this valuation if we had an infrastructure already built for anybody that wanted to do future development.
That's not how development works, though, especially when you're moving. We've grown up in our city, and now we're moving outside the city.
I know, but we're pushing a lot of costs towards developers. And if you want people to come to develop in Othello, it's competitive.
Well, let me put it this way. You're adding 35% to the building permit. How would you like in 2018 to get assessed and pay 35% more on your taxes for your home? I'm talking just on your house. So what's the rule of thumb? What should it be? Every 2 years? Should we be raising it every 2 years? Because if that should have been done in the past, we should have been doing that. So I blame the council for not doing that. Because now, you know, just like when we went through that with the water or the sewer, what was it last year? We wanted to raise, you know, kind of be up par with Moses Lake and or whoever it was. So we didn't raise the price because it was going to be too much of a jump, because we had not been doing it in the past. So we slack off, we don't raise the price like we should every other year, and then all of a sudden you get hit with a $1,200 bill for a permit. So that's all you guys are seeing. You're not seeing the park fees. It cost me another $1,500 per house for park fees. There's a lot of other stuff that when it comes to building that you're really not seeing. And it just gets tougher.
Okay.
All right. So the action is that the council should direct staff on whether to prepare a resolution updating the business value building valuation for calculating permit fees. I think the answer to that is yes, but that's up to the council. However, John has proposed maybe a revised schedule, potentially even an integrated schedule, which would be so much this year, so much next year.
Well, I can speak to that. Just because you pulled it off of standards, what is the general in the area? I mean, if you were going to develop in Ephrata, if you were going to develop in Connell, if you were going to develop, you know, in a smaller community outside of Moses Lake, for instance, what are their costs? What do they charge by for a building permit?
I can ask. I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't asked.
Because I don't, because we've gone to an extreme based on a standard, which is almost like Angel said, double the cost of a single building permit at 1,800 square feet.
Well, here's a question. Are most other cities based off of the International Code or Council?
I believe so, just because it's an easy way. And if you look at the chart, that's a lot of numbers to figure out.
It's a standardized.
It's a standardized.
Right, but it still doesn't mean that we have to be there.
Well, it doesn't mean that they're moving them either. You know what I mean? Has their council looked into it, or have they slacked off? I'd like to see what Moses Lake is paying, what Quincy's paying.
So I know Moses Lake because I asked them. They adopted the one. So the international codes change every 3 years, and so when the code changed, they adopted the schedule at that time, and so their plan is to adopt it every 3 years when the code changes, and so that every 3 years they'll have a jump.
See, I don't have a problem with that. Everything goes up, so I believe
it's not going to go up every year. It's just every 3 years.
But we haven't here, so you're adding on, you know, like a 15-year all of a sudden.
But we haven't changed since 2002.
Since 2002, so we're way behind.
Exactly.
Where do you want to be? Do you want to be at? If it's changed, when was the last change?
This was August. So they do it twice a year. They do have on their website have the ones from 2016, 2015, 2014. They have back multiple years.
You said it's a 35% change. You could break it down to so that you're only doing so much percentage every year for 3 years to get it up to speed. But
okay, well, this was informational. I think that it's clear that we need to have further discussion.
But anyway, 2017, you have 3315. That's what we're paying now, right? So the permit's going to go up to $4,500. That's what you're saying. Say, look at the 1,800 square foot home with the 660 mm-hmm. square foot garage. So because I am paying about like $3,500 right now for a permit fee. That's what I'm paying now.
Per unit?
Per unit.
And your 1,800
square feet? For the building, does that include any of the like water connection?
Well, that's your water connection, your meter.
Yeah, so there are other things.
So your meter, I think, is $550.
So the actual building permit fee is that $2,100.
And then we're looking at the plan review. The plan review, if you have, for example, is the 1,800 square foot home, I think you can build it once or twice or three times. I think you only get billed for the plan review the first time. Because if I build that house the second time, I should not be getting billed right. for that plan review right. because you already reviewed it once. Mm-hmm. So how does where does that 1,182 come in?
It's
what about the plan review?
It's the increase over the cost.
It's the increase, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but if I'm going to build a home, it's 1,800 square foot home. It's she's a 1,182, okay. So I'm going to build that house again.
Sure. She's
so
just,
there's no plan review, so...
Right,
it she should just be less than that.
But she's just one.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, listen, I got to stop it. We still got budget to go over. You, so yeah. this is informational. And, okay, I just got to cut the conversation off. We need to move forward. We obviously got more to develop. Thank you, Ann. So I want to move on in the agenda, and we're going to move to item E. And Spencer, let's get into our budget discussion.
So regarding the building fees, some of that plays into our discussion a little bit tonight, and so we'll get to that here in just a sec. I have a few proposals here. Long story short, I'm going to zoom in just a little bit here. Long story short, we've been doing some work over the last 2 weeks. We're looking at the last couple of red zone items here. That's what we have to discuss tonight. There are a few numbers up here that have changed. These items in green are items that we've already included in the budget. These items in green are items to discuss tonight. Down at the bottom, we have a few park and rec items, the cash register, the point of sale systems. Move the cursor so you can see it. That's the POS system. There's a Land Rover and then a life jacket. It's $3,000 to $4,000 a piece. The three items up here are the items that I want to discuss briefly before we move forward and make a couple of decisions. The first one is the drug detective. Last week when you saw this number, it was $98,000. So this is $35,000. Maybe the chief, you can jump in and correct me here. The chief and I are looking at ways to still provide drug services for the city or to increase the drug work here. Drug detection work here in the city, but save some costs. And so the $98,000 was an option to pay the salary benefits for a home officer. Instead of going this route, this is a proposal to just increase the overtime banks by $35,000 so we can use our existing officers, allow them to get some more overtime hours, and during that time we would be able to do some more drug detection work. That's the $35,000 here. I'm going to come down to the 25 with Fed Rescue next, and then I'll end up with the building inspector up here. With Fed Rescue, last time this was $27,500. There's $5,500 here is the revenue that if we contract with Fed Rescue, part of that contract would be that they would collect that $5,500 revenue, and then the other $20,000. Last time we had 22 plus 5.5 and 27. So the other 20,000 is the increase that we would increase. We would increase their annual contract amount from 20 to 40, and then we would also let them keep the other 5.5 on the revenue for selling the dog licenses. So the net effect ultimately of those to the city is the $25,500. So the last one up here This is the building inspector. We started with $82,000 for salary and benefits for this position. We net that against $36,000 that we currently budget to pay Adams County for those services. So we can subtract that off the top because we would just funnel that money from the county to this position if we went that route. And so this is the net effect here. Then the other item here is the $30,000 that is a conservative increase that we would see if we were to change the valuation tables for building permits from 2002 numbers to 2017 numbers. I want to make one statement and then come back to this. If we make these changes, including these items for the building inspector, that $30,000 for the valuations, if we do that, we would be able to fund each one of these items and stay above our balance. We'd stay above zero, above our $400,000 minimum fund balance by about $800 here. So really, before we move on, I want to talk about this $30,000, if we're going to do that. One piece of this is our grant writer. Here towards the end, we have a grant writer, $8,000 a year, $20,000 out of general, street, water, and sewer, $20,000 out of each one. This is a contract that Wade and Mayor and I have been discussing quite a bit lately, and Mayor, you can jump in if you want. We decided to move forward without this grant writer services. And that's for a couple of different reasons. One of those is the focus of the city has been on infrastructure needs. So water, streets, these kinds of things. We're working closely with Varela for the grant services for those types of projects. We also have our lobbyists that we're already working with that have the connections in Olympia and are heavily involved have the ability to move the city forward with those specific ones. Some of the things that we were, our scope of work that we had lined out for our grant writer was really vague. And now when we're looking at, we gotta look at every single dollar here. This is a way that we can save some money and be more focused in our grant acquiring efforts. Did I kind of encapsulate some of
those? Yeah, in a nutshell, we went to the IACC conference and it was clarified that Varela is primarily, by and large, already on staff to help us write grants to get money for infrastructure projects. And so having another separate grant writer doing the same work, we can't afford that. And as you look at that across there where it says grant writer, you've got that coming out, three of the four budgets, it's coming out of our public works budgets, water, sewer, streets, so it's tight this year. And if we want to move forward with grant writing, I think, in doing a little more deeper dive into what it is the city needs, I think our focus is more on the infrastructure at the moment. Doesn't mean it couldn't change, but if we were going to acquire additional grant writing services, I think it would be money better spent if we were project specific. And I think that's part of the issue that we had is that we weren't specifically focused enough to tell her exactly what it was. And so she was out, surveying the universe. And yes, she would like to help us work on a community center, but at the same time, the school district is working on a 1,500 seat auditorium at the current moment. And so basically, after we did call Wade and we discussed it with him and discussed it with Spencer and the police chief, and we feel like going forward, into 2018, that the money would be better spent within the general fund in our budget than to continue those services. So we effective today terminated, well, sent her notice. We had 30, there was a 30-day notice. So as of the end of the year, her services are terminated. Anything she had been working on, there was spelled out in the contract that Lukens and Annis had put together with her, that she has certain responsibilities. She has to give us the information that she had gathered up to that point. But the purpose of that is to find more money for the general fund and to set a priority. And I just felt like, I've been feeling this now for some time. And so I guess I'm just sitting here justifying my position, but that's kind of low. So the action has been taken. And so there is that additional $20,000 now in the general fund budget.
Yeah, so I bring up that $20,000.
So can I ask a question about that real quick?
Yes.
Her contract was for 70. We're not paying her any part of that bonus, are we?
No. No, she had to work a whole year to get a bonus, and she would have had to have obtained some grants. Now, in defense of her, to expect her to have, given the grants come at certain cycles during the year, to expect her in 3 months to have given us, money is probably unrealistic. But we also were starting to calculate, well, what are the chances of us getting any more money over the next 6 months? And so we made a business decision.
Okay. And we're honing in on months with our infrastructure needs.
Mm-hmm. So.
Good decision.
I agree, sir.
Good decision.
I agree. So with that $20,000 in mind.
Yeah, I think we can move on there, yeah.
With that $20,000 in mind, tonight part of this conversation here with the building inspector is the $30,000 change in devaluations from 2012 to 2017. If we use our $20,000 just for budget purposes, we don't have to make a decision on the valuation tables that we're going to be using tonight. But what I think we can do is say, let's use $20,000 from our grant writer. That gets us almost all the way there. Then the other $10,000 here is if we're going to step our way, perhaps one of the ideas was to step our way to up to a current valuation table. If we're to do that, I think it's safe to say that this first year we would at least step a third of the way there, and that would get us the other $10,000. Does that make sense, that idea?
If making a compromise.
Or if we were to do that, then that would take up that other $30,000. So we can still move forward with the building inspector, drug detective work.
So we're using the number of houses, which was 20 last year at 30 grand, but now we have another builder that has not come to play for the past 2 years. So now we're going to double up. That number should be 60 grand.
Yeah, it could be.
That's why we should, yeah. That's why I say we should look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're looking to profit, there's enough fees in there already to where, there's inspection fees and permit fees that are already in there.
I don't think the city's looking to profit.
Well, we're looking at 30 grand, but if it comes to play,
but the thing is we keep looking at our budget and talking about how tight it is, and there's fees out there that need to be coming in to supplement the budget. And
well, your budget,
I don't think the
your budget would have been tighter if I wouldn't have had 80 houses that have got $700,000 up to date in taxes.
We can't leave everything the same for another 30 years.
Well, you can't change it all at once either.
I'm
with it if you want to change it. Don't do it all of a sudden. 35%, 50%.
But all that.
Well, I don't think that's what I think that's what we talked about. We weren't going to do.
I think that's what we're saying. So anyway, we'll go back to Spencer.
If we were to step that up, we can easily assume that we would make up the remainder of the amount of money needed to fund the building inspector, which would mean that we can fund each one of these last few items here, these three and those three up there, and still stay within
a budget for the general fund.
So with that, I would turn the time to you as council if we want to pick our way through these, or if we want to just fund these six items as they are now, and move forward, would you do that?
I say fund them.
Fund them?
I have questions.
Go ahead.
Actually, two of them is for the police chief. If Heather goes to full-time code enforcement, is she going to cost any more? Is she staying at the same salary and benefits?
We haven't negotiated that, but in the contract that we negotiated last year for the dispatcher collective bargaining agreement, that had a wage opener in it where we could renegotiate that. I'm holding off on negotiating that, but we've done a wage study. We know what our number would generally be. It would include an increase, and in fact, that increase is already rolled into the general fund budget. We would back that out if council decided not to.
What's the increase going to be?
I'd rather not say. We haven't negotiated it yet.
But how can we vote on if we don't know what it's going to cost?
That cost is, if we were to go with that proposed cost, that cost is already worked into the general fund budget. And so if we weren't, you know, I guess so, if that cost were to end up quite a bit more than what our proposal is,
I think we can safely say that if the council doesn't approve the pet rescue contract, we can back about $5,500 out of the general fund budget.
Oh, that's it?
Yes, sir.
My next question is pet rescue going to go for that? Are they on board with
the numbers that we've been talking? I've been negotiating with pet rescue for about a month, month and a half. We've been talking about 20 to 22,000 over what we're paying now. And they take over dog licensing and would collect the revenues of that also. I believe this reflects that. The final numbers haven't been completed. We would also need to put that in a contract too.
But, and they're on board for the dog catching also?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I got. And I just got one other comment. I would like to state, when did the county say that they want out of building inspecting?
My understanding is that the Planning Commission recommended that they get out and that they do it for the county full-time and quit doing the service for the city. They would like to do it as early as the end of the year, which would be in another month, but I can't speak for them. I don't know exactly. I don't even know that the Board of County Commissioners have talked about it yet. So even if we were to transition out of this contract that we currently have, Corey, and we were to, the council by the 11th of December was to approve this new position within the city, we probably still wouldn't have anybody in place by the time we advertised. We still wouldn't be ready for until, I think, Ann, you and I had talked about that a little bit, but we were talking in March, really, realistically, before we could have anybody in place. So those are some of the things that, if we move that direction, those are some of the obstacles looking out ahead that we're going to have.
Because I have a hard time paying $80,000 or $90,000 for a building inspector when we're getting it for $15,000 or $20,000 right now. I understand there's, you know, but the big thing is customer service. Well, you know, $65,000 is a lot of customer service.
Because what else is he going to pick up besides inspection fees?
Exactly.
That's what I've been thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, what else is he going to do?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So I don't know. I haven't heard Tim tell me anything that they're going to stop. But it's worth looking into it, talking to their higher peers and see, even if we have to pay them another $5,000, you know, if they're, and I don't know what they're charging, but they'll be making more money because we're going to have Olson come to play here in the next 6 months. So, Ann, I don't know what you have to say about that.
So the issue is that he's just too busy. We have inspections that are going back weeks now that he's not getting to. and he's got a lot of things going on in the county, and, you know, there just needs to be more people doing the inspections. One thing that I think we should look at is doing some sort of a reciprocity with the county, because right now, his secretary is gone for like 2.5 weeks, and so they have nobody to answer the phones, and so he's trying to answer the phones and do all his inspections and everything, and he's just pulling his hair out. It's just not working. And so, as you know, there was a few months ago, there was a death in his family. He was gone for a week. There were no inspections. So I just think that one person for a whole county is not enough.
Plus the city, yeah.
Right. Another thing, somebody mentioned the, what else would he do? Some things that don't get done right now is that we have a lot of issues, I guess this came up a while ago, with people living in sheds and things that you would like to have someone address, but there's nobody that has the time.
Yeah, we dropped the ball 2-3 years ago on that.
Yeah, the non-conforming uses.
Yeah, we haven't settled that for 2-3 years.
He would go along with code enforcement and do the,
that would definitely handle
do the actual inspection portion of it with her?
And possibly even some of the follow-up, or, you know, there are ways that we can work on that part of it.
I think regardless of what we do with the fees, regardless, this is just me talking, but regardless of what we do with the fees, in the next 2 years, with the building that's going to be going on in Othello, we're going to have income to put towards a building inspector. Regardless of whether we raise them or not, we're going to have that income coming in from the building inspections that are going to be done on 50 units and then another 50 units, you know, from two developers in the next 2 years. Correct? So, I mean, even though we don't count on it being a higher number, it's still going to be a number and it's still going to go into that budget.
One other thing we have to think about is that we are generating money. You know, just each house there, $3,000 a year is $250,000 of taxes that we're paying into, not including the $250,000 that I've paid of permit fees that's been coming into Othello. That adds to the numbers right there. So I put some numbers together. We've generated $700,000 to $800,000 of tax-based money in the town. Take it. The county takes a lot of it. I don't know why they take so much, but it's money that's coming in, and we're part of making it grow. We'll want to make it grow.
As long as it's covering costs.
It is covering the cost because the city did not put one rock in that in my development. I did everything. They plowed it last year. That's all city's paid for.
So we've had a lot of discussion tonight about a number of different things. Do we have some proposals with some of these items, including some of these items in the budget?
Let's start at the top and go down.
Okay.
So drug detection?
Yes. Overtime. Actually, it's overtime.
Approval of overtime. Approval of the overtime, yeah. Yes.
Building inspector?
I'm for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty much where it sounds like we don't really have a choice.
No. We got to figure something out, whether this is the direction we want to go, but we got to have something.
A work in progress, yeah.
Rescue?
Definitely, on my behalf.
Yep, I think so. Mm-hmm. You guys think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like this idea because it's more geared towards performance. They're going to perform a duty for us, and we're going to pay them for it.
Yeah.
We're not just handing them money.
Yeah. It's good for everybody.
Park cash register.
Yes.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
And ropes.
Lane ropes and life jackets.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. With that really concludes our budget process for this
year. We've had a lot of different things that we've discussed, and we're about to enter into a public hearing to again review some of the things that we've put in and pros and cons. I'd like to say that this is a long process for any city. Our process starts with department heads taking a hard look at their budgets. This starts in, gosh, when do I send those things out? July? April? July? July, about halfway through the year with the department heads, looking at some of their budgets, looking where can we trim the fat, where can we make some changes that are going to be positive for the city. From there, we hit the council committee meetings, where the council has walked through line by line these different budget items and some of the new needs of the city. And then we put all those decisions together in our meetings that are just like this one. We're looking at our ending fund balances and what can we do. And things are tight, but it's also important to balance those things with some of the items, the services that we've been able to work into our budget. This year, we've worked in a number of things into our budget. With Parks and Rec, we have Nina as full-time, and we're still keeping our four seasonal guys to help keep up the parks. That was a new item that we added, was last year, maybe 2000, well, 1 or 2 years so far, and now we're able to work that in and keep it as a consistent item moving forward. In this budget, we're working some more items in with the building inspector, pet rescue, more drug work for the city. So those are some amazing things for the city. Down below on this spreadsheet, we have some items where we're partnering with local developers to help further more growth within the city. And we have more patrol vehicles. We're just finishing up First Avenue. This is the $139,000 for that additional work that we just had to do along First Avenue. And there are a lot of good things that we're doing in the city here. And I think our budget reflects that.
Quick question.
Yeah.
The $10,000 is that for the AEDs or the handguns? The green kind of goes over both. Which one's it for?
That's for both.
Yeah, okay. That's actually $30,000 over 3 years.
Okay.
Remember, so, we did the okay. Air final loan.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Okay.
And it was $10,000 a year.
That's right. Great memory, but it's short.
That's how we were able to fund it.
With okay. This item, gotcha. Above that, it's the same story. We're
okay.
Looking at the cooling system. We're looking at
I remember now.
Yeah. We're thinking it's going to be quite a bit less than that. We're not quite sure. Okay. But at least this over that 3 year period. Okay. Would
thank
fix
you.
Fix that and fix the problems in the building. Okay, with Spencer. That, I'll turn it over.
All right. Thank you very much. I think we'll move now to item F, public hearing on the 2018 preliminary budget. And I want for the public and for the newspaper, while this has just been a discussion, it's still preliminary. It is subject to change, and tonight we're going to open that public hearing at 8:22 p.m. And Spencer, would you please give a staff report?
Sorry, that was my staff report.
Oh, it just was. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. So the staff report.
Just rewind a little bit.
Yeah, hit the rewind. Yes. City Council is doing many things. It appears that we do have enough money now to balance the budget, but there are still some things that could change before the end. Okay. So with that, then, I'd like to open the public testimony portion. There's that for this public hearing. Three segments, those in support, those neutral, or those in opposition. Is anybody here tonight who would like to speak in support of our budget for 2018? Is there anybody here who's neutral that would still like to speak? Is there anybody in opposition who would like to speak? Hearing none, I'll close the public portion of the testimony. Council, you can ask for any additional information. Is there any further discussion on the budget? Okay, then I'll close the public hearing at 8:23 p.m. The preliminary budget hearing. And then we'll go to the public hearing on the 2018 capital facility plan. And I'd like to open that public hearing at 8:23 p.m. And Spencer has a report.
This is our capital facility plan. This is a six-year plan that looks out for the next 6 years for the city. It's very much a living document, just like the budget is. It's a document that's intended to complement the budget and be a help for us as city administrators and for you as council members to make good decisions for the city moving on into the future. And so this capital facility plan encapsulates 2018 through 2023. This column here, the 2017 column in gray, this is a column that's going to drop out with our for the plan. It's just included here as reference. But this budget goes, or this capital facility plan looks at the future needs of the city in a number of different areas, just to make sure that some of our large items don't fall off and are forgotten. The first section up here is the general fund. We have some general needs of the city. There's our HVAC is really, I guess, 30, 30, and 30. And this document is very much a document in process. If you have suggestions, if you want to move something up or out, speak up and we can do that. We discussed this chart, this page, and then the other side of the page down below. We discussed this in our finance committee, and in that meeting we had a couple of changes where we moved some street projects out of the year or out of the year. We made a couple of changes like that. Regardless, we can move on to our police here. Really, the ongoing, the big thing to consider in police is the patrol vehicles. Our year right now, we're just going to be doing two vehicles. So we do three vehicles, and then we do that contract for two vehicles. The parks and rec restrooms down here, this year, at the end of the year, I'll make a budgeted transfer of $100,000 to put that aside for our restrooms. I believe those ones were in Lions. Were those in Lions Park?
Okay.
Lions Park. And then this year, we have another $160,000. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some grant money to finish that off. If we scroll down a little bit, we have our street water sewer and solid waste funds. In our street fund, we have the next couple of projects coming down the pike. The biggest ones, we have Olympia, San Antonio State, and Columbia with Sage Stone Aid, some work there. We have $200,000 in our street fund that we haven't allocated yet, and that's just money that we can use for street overlay projects as those rise, and we can budget that money as those projects come up. We have a few other streets going out into the future also. The South Broadway from Elm to 26. All the way out, we have our industrial area 26. 26, 24 in Ventura, which is that whole area out there. These are some projects that we're working with Varela, or at least are on the horizon for work with Varela. We also have our water projects down here. All of the items that we talked about earlier in our meeting are in this worksheet here. So we have our BFD 06, all of those items, well 3, well 10, and kind of plotting out a plan of attack to get some of those things done. Then with our sewer fund, the biggest item under our sewer fund is our sewer plant. We don't know exactly how much that's going to be, but we know it's in our future, and we know it's going to be quite a bit. $30 million is what's there for that. Then our very last fund here, solid waste fund, we've been typically budgeting $55,000 for alley budget improvements under that fund. With that, this is a plan looking off into the future. It should be used as a fluid document to help us, to help guide our efforts. With that, the mayor, time is yours.
Any questions, council? It's kind of, this is, like Spencer pointed out, it's a fluid document, but at least it begins to give the council an idea of what we already are looking at doing. Doesn't mean that it's not subject to change, but we do need some kind of direction, and this gives it to us, and so...
It's patterned after our water plan that we just discussed. It's patterned after our street, what's the street plan? The street? STP? STIP is patterned after our STIP. So really, this brings all those different infrastructure plans for the city together into one document.
Okay, sir. All right. With that, then I'd like to open the public testimony portion of this public hearing. Is any in three sections, those in support, those neutral, or those in opposition? Is there anybody in support of this capital facilities plan? Please raise your hand. Anybody neutral to the proposal? Anybody in opposition to the proposal? Hearing none, I'll close the public testimony. And we need to adopt this capital facilities plan tonight, Spencer.
Sir?
Do we need to adopt this capital facilities plan tonight, or is this is just informational and then we'll adopt it at the budget? Okay. So with that, I'll close the public hearing at 8:30 p.m. And we'll move on into the unfinished business, which is item five. Is there any unfinished business, council? Can't think of any at the moment. New business, any new business, council, you want to bring up? Okay. Item six is 6A. The council will consider budget ordinances at the December 4th City Council workshop. So there is some work that's going to be done over the next week to prepare for that. And 6B, we're collecting children's hats, gloves, and scarves to be included in the Christmas basket project. Please drop off your collections at City Hall. Is that correct, Deb? I wanted to call you Debbie, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, Becky. Yeah.
Once the tree goes up, we will be decorating our Christmas tree in the lobby with hats, gloves, and scarves.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll be providing them to Adams County Fire District for Christmas baskets on December 15th, and they will be giving them the baskets on December 15th. So, if you have any, bring them in. We'll want to make sure you guys, if you don't have anybody who needs to go, you can bring them to City Hall. Me and the ladies up front will be start decorating the tree.
Okay. 7A, council also received department head reports. Having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:32 p.m.